us pray. Heavenly Father, we're very glad this morning that we are a part of the hour of your visitation, and not only are a part of it as all others are, but we have been appraised of it and know for surety that you have come down upon this earth, as the scripture has said, as you yourself said, for training it through your prophets. Now having seen it and got even scientific evidence, as the prophet said, and we're grateful for that. And may, Lord, we not go about our business as usual, but may we go about our business as unusual, knowing as never before your presence, Lord. Solomon sincere, having seen an example in the prophet, and wondering so many years how he could be so solemn, so sincere, so reverent, that he could be so knowledgeable concerning yourself, and then that certain atmosphere that was always around him of reverence and holiness, sobriety. We know now, Lord, why it was because of you, and we understand that. We know you, Lord, we believe greater than we ever knew you before, and we understand the prophet better, and your word better, Lord, but and all that's very good, we know that we need a quickening. And so we pray this morning for the quickening. In Jesus' name, we pray for that quickening. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're looking at the Anointed Ones at the End Time, number 11. And in this message, we see that the great end time deception that leads the church into the worship of the Antichrist has its inception in the ministry of men who are genuinely anointed and gifted by the Holy Ghost, yet are false prophets to the Word of God. Now, that's a statement that I believe to be absolutely correct based upon what Brother Branham is teaching us in He by Vindication. And, of course, your minds may not grasp that because you've been well informed, too well informed and erroneously informed about who this Antichrist is, what the system is, and how it really comes about. But here is how it comes about. This is the deception. It's going to take people off the truth. It's going to put them into the Antichrist system and end up worshiping the beast, into some type of Satanism. But it's not going to be any crass, vulgar Satanism, but it's going to be the difference of the one word. One word off. The spirits being so close. Let me read it again. In this message, we see that the great end-time deception that leads the church into the worship of the Antichrist has its inception in the ministry of men who are genuinely anointed and gifted by the Holy Ghost, yet are false prophets to the Word of God. Right? Okay, Satan was a genuine creation of God. At one time, he led in the worship of God. He was a cherub that covered. And he took Eve one word off. Adam went with her. And we see the mess we're in today. These false prophets to the Word of God. These false prophets to the Word of God. They are the ones who claim the authority to speak for God. And lead the people into and act as though and pretend they lead the people into the worship of God. So we want to get this picture again. These false anointed ones. These are they who claim the authority to speak for God and the authority to lead the people in the worship of God. Now, that's what they claim. Their authority is self-authorized by their possession of gifts of the Holy Spirit, which they claim be evidences of a genuine rebirth or baptism with the Holy Spirit. This spirit of deception that is upon them is so close to the spirit of truth which is upon a genuine prophet that all but the elect are deceived, and many deceived will end up blaspheming the word. Now, let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2, and we'll read it to show you what I am saying based on this message. 2, beginning at 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who hindereth will hinder till he be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said. So the authorities, the theologians were right on that one. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the brightness, the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, all of this up here that I read takes place because they do not receive the truth. Well, who is it that brings the false teaching? These people. So no matter what you've been taught previously, or no matter what your own conjecture has been concerning it, this is to set you right. That you are a part of this age, and you are seeing the last day inception motivation, which is going to bring an apostate church and a church that is actually vital with the power of God into the arms of the devil. You are seeing it now. You know all about it. You're not deceived. The only way you'll be deceived is to turn down the simplicity. Because you don't want to believe such a simple thing. You know, there's poison so powerful now that one drop could literally wipe out an army. And they're getting more powerful things all the time. I hate to think what's going to come upon the world when they turn loose all these things they're turning loose now that have the DNA and RNA altered and all these other things. Maybe by the grace of God I might talk a little bit about the Easter meeting. I don't know. Might discuss life. I'm not sure. But look. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, starting with the beast and the whole bunch up there, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, these false anointed are filled with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. These people are the epitomization of all of it. And they're not a bunch of gross characters out there living it up. We'll find out about that as we read. And for this cause, because they receive not the love of the truth, they might be saved. The love of the truth is what they turn down, and that's their salvation is gone. No blood, no nothing. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. They'll believe they won't die. They don't believe it now. They're going to be telling you, hey, we're here and the rapture is going to take place and we're going with it. You watch us. That they all might be judged, condemned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And what is unrighteousness? It's what Cain did. Not killing his brother. That's not so. That's what caused him to kill his brother. See? His deeds were evil. What evil deed did he do? He worshipped God apart from a genuine revelation of the hour. And he was right according to the Bible. It's proper to offer fruit of the ground and vegetables and things. It's very proper. But you don't offer it for sins. His understanding was completely wrong. The Bible said he offered an excellent sacrifice. Anything in the Bible is excellent. Until it's perverted. That is the epitomization of unrighteousness. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth had pleasure in unrighteousness. They took their joy in there. People can't figure how we have joy in this word. We have life in this word. How can you sit there like a bunch of dumb bunnies? You don't shout. You don't scream. You don't dance. You don't do this. You don't do that. What's the matter with you guys? You ain't got nothing? They can't understand that. They can't figure we've got an inner joy. That just makes us all smiles inside and happy. Why, you bunch of sour pusses. What do I care what you look like, as long as you don't look too ferocious. My God, my eyesight ain't too good. It helps me out a lot. But look, we don't have to judge by facial expressions and all these things, whether you dress like you're going to a carnival or something, carry on as though you're half drunk, or just terribly exuberant. What's that got to do with it? How do you think Cain and Abel felt as they, fresh with the revelation, coming to worship God? Oh, they must have cut a spiritual rug in the desert. Happy, happy, happy. And then, glowering, mad at God. And one guy dying for it. So let's all really be happy. Get a good picture, G. Oh, God. You understand what I'm saying? Look. Sometimes this word's like a surgeon's knife. Cuts. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of spirit, even belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. the promise right there of glorification, being in the resurrection and the rapture and the wedding supper, was believing what Paul said. There is no change in the way God does things. You believe the word of the hour or you miss it. And if Paul was a vindicated prophet, the end time man would have to be vindicated. Who in the world's Elijah? If Elijah doesn't prove himself, who needs Elijah? Fact. How many times you've been conned by somebody putting on a good show as though he had money? Ha! That's common as dirt. Two-faced bunch of hypocrites putting on a show. Okay. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the teaching which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Okay, keep reading. Now then, never forget the conditions of the Laodicean church are in when the prophet Elijah arrives on the scene. God's estimation is you're wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and don't know it. Your testimony is 100%... Listen, your testimony is 100% false to the conditions. Your testimony is 100% false to the conditions. What are the conditions of the rapture? Shout, voice, trumpet. Have they got it? No. In the face of shout, voice, trumpet, they're wretched, miserable, blind, naked. Don't know. We are not wretched. We are not blind. We are not naked. We are not miserable. Predestination is cause for great joy. We're bound to give thanks always to God for your brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Great joy. Great joy. Where do these folk have their great joy? Any place but in the Word. Listen, you give them the Word like we have it. Well, bite your nose and ears off. They get close enough to you. Sneered you. You say, oh, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. I was there when they tittered and sneered at Brother Branham. Not knowing they're dead already, white throne is there. Brother, sister, don't talk to me as though you got the answers when you don't have the answers. I am giving you the answers. I'm telling you God's truth this morning, though I don't have the feeling in my heart. But I know this to be true. White throne is now. Because that is the one. That is the one. The next thing this world gets is white throne. Because the burning is not the judgment. It is the curse upon the fullness of their sins and their degradation. But the judgment and the lake of fire is the next thing. They're in detention for 1,000 years of misery. And as sure as that is scientifically proven, and a prophet told what it was, and that, let me assure you, the white throne is here now as far as the reality is concerned. It will be no realer. Except you'll be there if you miss this. Amen. That's great cause to rejoice. That's great cause to have unity in this church. That's great cause to just, no matter what happens, look up to him in the vertical and the horizontal take care of itself. I keep telling you, when are you going to believe it? Well, we've got good cousin. I'm not roughing you. I'm just telling you, we got to get further down the line. It's at this time of Revelation 3:14-21, and this deceit. It is at this time that Revelation 10:1-7 takes place. The mighty messenger comes down and informs a human messenger on earth who informs us. Time's run out. It's all over. And now please apprehend this statement which is spoken by Brother Branham. And in my own words, I'm telling you very simply. Malachi 4, Revelation 10, 2 Thessalonians 2, Matthew 24 and 24, Luke 17, 20-30, is set forth in the parable of Luke 18, which parable is written by a Gentile, Dr. Luke, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And this book is more for the Gentiles than any other book. That's the Gospels, the Gospels. It is the widow and the unjust judge. So, we go to page 30, beginning at 129. Now, just a minute. Brother Bance, I want to look up something here. I think I wrote this down right. I'm not sure. but I want to say it and look it up before I say it. Now, just 1 minute. Reprobates concerning the truth, concerning the faith. Now, that's what he's looking at. He's talking about. And, of course, reprobates would be 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So Brother Branham is combining Timothy with Thessalonians here, using the word truth and faith interchangeably, synonymously, because they are one. Okay. Reprobates concerning the truth, concerning the faith. There's only one faith. Now that's the note he was looking at. One faith. That's right. Concerning the faith. Okay? That's 2 Timothy. So we better just take a little look at that. And the third chapter, I suppose it is, the 8th verse. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. All right. You will notice in here that Jannes and Jambres were very personal to Moses. And the issue was with the man. In our day, the issue is not with William Branham, it's with the truth. Right. Because the messenger said, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming, so your message, not you, but your message, will forerun the second coming. And Brother Branham was not repudiated as a prophet, though people erroneously thought that he made mistakes in his prophecy, which he did not. And they were only too happy, I think, at times to take what they heard, which were lies, and peddle them. But never once did he make make a mistake, because he couldn't make a mistake. That's what people don't understand about prophets. They couldn't attack his character because his character was flawless. But they said, you see, Brother Branham is a prophet when he discerns. But he's an entire goof-off when it comes to the Word. So you see, they resist truth. Jannes and Jambres had a showdown with Moses. There would be no showdown with William Branham, but they would come against the truth, and the truth would destroy them. Right? Darkness cannot live with light. Light destroys darkness. Lies cannot live with truth. Truth destroys lies. Righteousness cannot live with evil. Righteousness destroys evil. Or you better start looking for something else, brother, sister. You haven't got your eyes on God and His millennium and His new Jerusalem and His new creation. You've got all messed up in your thinking. You have got to realize the complete invincibility of truth. Listen to me. The complete invincibility of truth. You are not invincible. You cannot conceive for one moment in yourselves that you would be invincible. But the truth is absolutely non-conquerable. It is ever conquering. And it is invincible. It will overcome. It is not that you per se will overcome. It is only you per se by grace that you overcome. For it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God working in you, and God willing and doing, so that the whole thing is of God. And by grace you become a part of it. So therefore it says that Jannes and Jambres, in a personal confrontation, withstood Moses. These men will not personally confront because they don't dare. They don't dare. They were too smart. You see, let's keep reading. These men resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as was theirs also. There'll be no confrontation. But time will prove it when they're here for the great tribulation. Yeah. So you gotta wait a while. These are the days of long suffering, when you and I'd say, hey, let's have a showdown. We've had our showdown. Our showdown is a vindicated word, and if we're not smart enough to take it, we don't deserve the grace of God. That's just smart enough to be honest. The old song, Jesus has a table spread, where the saints of God are fed. He invites his hungry people come and dine.
And now if the table is spread and you're hungry, you don't come and dine. It's your own fault if you're too stubborn to off. How many times have you got mad and refused to eat? Honey, well, raise your hands at me, you bunch of clucks. Or refuse something. Well, you got so mad you turned down something really nice. Stupid. Join the crowd. Same way here. If you want to get your back up. Not saying you do. People want to get their backs up. They want to come against the vindicated word. They don't know this is a man of God sent down from heaven. They don't know this is the truth. They don't know because they don't want it. They listen to some little tin horn preacher, some little tin horn doctor. Oh God, it gets about those tin horn preachers and tin horn doctors and tin horn teachers. Nauseate you. The world's looking for gold and all it gets a bunch of tin. What do they fill these coffers with? Tin? Nickel? You mean nickel's cheaper than tin? The more money? I don't know what that. I'll tell you that gloom is about one of the most abundant things that face the earth. They use that, I don't know. But everything is so superficial. Okay. Now, concerning the faith, they are reprobates. Reprobates in the faith, their minds have been corrupted. And remember, Eve's mind was corrupted. And Paul said, at the beginning of the church age, men's minds have been corrupted already. And Brother Branham giving us the simile, the likeness of the end time. There is nothing left in the earth, so the body has turned to mush. What about the brain? There is no revealed word left at this time, so what about the brain? It's gone. There's no repentance. There's no anything. Unless God does something about it. How can you have true repentance toward God with the wrong revelation? You can't have it. And the message to the church is repent. Get your mind lined up. Lined up with what? Everything is corrupt. Then there's got to be a fresh breeze from heaven or something stinks. We are not dealing with a God that is foolish or insipid. Or a God that demands too much. The only time God ever demands too much is when God himself will meet the demands. And he only demanded too much to show you he would do it for you. That's grace. And grace is beautiful to think he allows us to see that we can't do it and he will. How are we going to get out of here? He's going to take us out of here. And it's not going to be on strings on a yo-yo while he's up there to pull us up. He's going to be here doing it. I love that. That's why people can't understand the presence. They don't understand the presence. They want to get pulled up. They think when the Lord descends and meets us in the air, that it's the same one that descended. It's not down here. He's up in the air. I got news for you. That's Jehovah saying to Adonai. The Lord said to my Lord. Now let's read. Okay. And he spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge, which feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in the same city. And she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. She said, I want you to put down my enemy and get what he's holding from me. Well, now, you know, Brother Branham categorically said that when Adam sold out, the devil got possession temporarily, and the title deed went back to God, and he's holding it until the debt was paid. So here Satan is our adversary. The Bible tells us that too. And the judge would not for a while, but afterward he said it in himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now, and shall not God avenge his elect, which cries unto him day and night, though he bear long with him? I tell you, he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now that, of course, is Luke 18. I want to check something here I wrote in my Bible. A definition. Now, the definition of the word avenge means that which proceeds from justice. The woman said here, I want to be avenged. I am not getting justice. There is something that belongs to me. and I'm not getting it. Now, she's a widow, so therefore, she has property in her name somewhere through inheritance. And she gets it back through the law of the kinsman redeemer because she's a widow. Now, she's looking for her kinsman, and she wants to get this property. Perhaps it's a year jubilee and so on. Now, no one's coming forward at this time to redeem her. But she's crying for it. Now, that's what you're looking at in the picture here. Now, okay, she wants to be vindicated to get her personal rights. Now, let's just take a little look over here for a second in the book of Joel, the second chapter. And 25:26. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, pomerum, my great army sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that have dealt wonders with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now, the church has looked for this for roughly 2,000 years. Restoration. That the enemy destroyed. And remember, it's the same bug in four different forms. The same old Antichrist, the same old devil. Now, this is what the church wants. And it is their property that they are to get. It belongs to them. So, Jesus then talks about the unjust judge coming continuously until the woman might wear him out and he give in. Now, he says here, you liken that to me. I'm not bugged by your coming. You've got a perfect right, but I can only give it to you at a certain time, and that's when the Son of Man cometh. Now, at the time of the Son of Man coming, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, Brother Branham says, that's the question. Will he find faith? Here's where I want to get to. In Revelation 10, which means Luke 18 is Revelation 10. We'll get to in a few minutes in another scripture verse. He says, in the days of the message of the seventh angel, the mystery of God. What mystery of God? The Son of Man mystery. Because that's what he's talking about. Shall the Son of Man find faith when he cometh? The Son of Man mystery. Now, any real theologian, and if you look, go to the books of theology, you will find they understood this. But they couldn't figure it. They knew it was coming. But they didn't know what it was. And they don't know that Malachi 4 and Luke 17 and Revelation 10, 1-7 is this parable. See? Now watch. In the days of the seventh messenger, the mystery of the Son of Man, and what is he? Judge. There he is right there, the judge. The unveiling, the apocalypse, at this time, the just judge will avenge, will vindicate a bride, and she will be restored. Her widowhood shall vanish. And she'll get what she needs in this hour. Her faith will be restored. Now, he says, the mystery of God ought to be finished. Here, the answer is, if you follow in that line in this hour, and remember, this hour is this message. Remember, we went through that a couple weeks ago? This hour, this hour, this hour, this day, this day? Okay. We'll be finished. Will I find faith? In other words, will Malachi 4 be fulfilled in this time? That's what he's saying. From this parable, will Malachi 4 be fulfilled? When the judge comes down, will he vindicate a bride? Yes, he will vindicate a bride. At the time the false anointing is going on. And their vindication shall be turned down through the malicious efforts of a false bunch of prophets who have a true anointing of God for the power and no anointing for the word. And they lead the people right into the trap. Now, my brother, sister, remember the old program, You Were There? They took the Salem witches and they put it on TV. All right, you are here now, and history at the white throne, you will be pointed at and say, were you there or were you not, Dave Osmick? And David, you flub it. The same thing will come to you, my brother. And I'm not singling him out. I'm just using him as one of my whipping boys, so to speak. For example, that I can go right in the front. I can say to the Petries, and I can say to the Shells, and the Clausens, and right down the line to every single one of you. You are here. And when you stand here 1,000 years from now, roughly, you were there. Now, what are you going to do about it? Now, see, I'm trying to pin your faith down because we're too wishy-washy. We're still looking down the road instead of now. And the curse is looking back and looking forward. Looking back, looking forward. Now! I can't live on yesterday's food. I could, I guess, because I got enough fat. I'm quite pretty good at, I'm pretty good at fasting, but I don't particularly like it. And I'm not called upon either. In fact, I'm told by God, the prophet who is the prophet of God, that I shouldn't look for yesterday's food, nor for tomorrow's, but today's. Now, his point is this, is Malachi 4 fulfilled at this time? Have the children's faith been restored to the faith of the fathers, which was the original word faith? So therefore, Luke 18 is Revelation 10, is Malachi 4, is 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7. So let's read in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7. And you know I do a lot of repeating, and it's for your good and for my good, because I got a lousy memory and I can forget, and your memory may be lousy, and I'm not going to let you forget either. Okay, the 7th verse, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, relax. And that's the very word that Brother Branham said, under the 7th seal was relaxation. You know, they got these three guys, Warner and Bongard, or what's his name, there's three of them, and they're up for sentencing. What if the judge should suddenly say those three guys stand here, tense and stiff, roaches, tense and stiff. Well, I've decided to let you go free. You talk, they'd relax themselves, come out of their skulls. Okay, relax yourselves out of your skulls. Good choice of words. They didn't know I was going to say it. To you that are troubled in your skulls, relax. When? Not till now. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers right there. In flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And remember, don't read this the way you're thinking. Because you're going to blow it. I've warned you already. You're going to forget verse 10. You're going to be so taken up by the thoughts of the devil, by the thoughts of your own anxieties, by the thoughts of your own no goodness, by your undoneness. Do I believe enough? Am I this? Am I there? Am I here? Am I somehow? You're going to keep pushing that and forget the word of God to you. This is not to you. By the grace of God, not one person in my voice in this church that this is to you. What do I mean? Judge! Shall the righteous die with the wicked? No! I'm going to tell you something. I don't think Lot was too happy when he saw Mrs. Lot turn to pillar of salt. In plain English, she got paralyzed completely. And something happened in her body, which is like ossification, I guess. And we know that in doctor's parlance. The body can turn to stone. So her body was completely mineralized, turned to salt. I suppose he, whoopee, she turned to salt. Hey! Do you think he jumped up and down and was happy? He wasn't happy the judgment fell. We aren't happy the judgment fell, but I'm going to tell you something. He was mighty glad he got out of it. And I'm going to tell you something. Your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your children may stay in Sodom and get turned to a pillar of salt. You're not going to be happy about it. One day God's going to wipe away all remembrance of these things. But just because they don't believe, are you going to go join them? Now you've got parents that don't understand the first thing about this. They don't want to understand. My mother's dead. Do you think we're... I don't know if she'd understand anything or want anything. Do you think I'm going to go back because of my mother, my brothers, my sisters, my aunts, my uncles? God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and neither do we. But His pleasure is in His saints. Our pleasure is in God. But you got to understand these things are going to take place. And flames of fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. White throne. There is a now judgment. You say, Brother Bale, how can you say it? Because a day, 1,000 years with the Lord is one day. One day is all it takes. It's a now judgment. I'm telling you, don't let the devil beat us out of this. Listen, every time I preach these things, he wants to beat me over the head, put me sick, put me here. I'm telling you, oh God in heaven, what is going on? Anyway, I preach it, and then I get robbed. I don't care. The devil can abuse my mind and abuse me. There's a true bride, blessed God, that can stand here and say, I'm not afraid of the white throne. It's over as far as I'm concerned, and judge me because he said so. I've been vindicated by the highest court in the land. Brother Branham said he's the judge and he's the jury. He's the whole thing and our attorney. And sentence has been passed. When the Supreme Court throws it out, how are you going to get it back in? He can't do it. So, well, I tell you, there's such a thing as somebody else bringing something else up. How can you do in this case when the whole thing's put in the sea of God's forgetfulness? How can it be done? It's written out of the Constitution, brother, sister. Now, at the same time, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among us believed in that day. All right. He's going to come to be glorified in his saints, to give us immortality, to raise the dead, and to be admired, given the preeminence. That's to the bride. But I said, look, and I yelled at you, and I mean it, because I'm yelling at myself the same way. We are too prone to be negative. And the negativity here is for the condemned. It's for the wicked. It's for those who say that is a lie. And say that is a lie. And make mock of it. And then go on with their unrighteousness, which they believe to be righteousness. They say, well, you guys are crazy. You're a bunch of cults. Fine and dandy. So was Paul and so was Moses and especially good old Noah. All right, that's what this is about here, my brother, my sister. It can be understood now in what Brother Branham was saying. Okay. Paragraph 131, reprobate. Janus and Jambres, as they withstood Moses, now listen also. 2 Timothy 3:8, Janus is withstood Moses. Also in the last days, these same reprobates would come. Now see what he says here, having a form of godliness, anointed ones. Now, let's just go back, read it when you get home so I can finish this morning, if I can. Reprobates concerning. Now watch. Not reprobates in living, they're fine cultured men. Well, we see their culture going down the drain. Oral Roberts sold out his integrity for $4.5 million, and Back Baker sold his out for a woman. She came pretty high, didn't she? You think AIDS are high? AIDS are none of the price he paid. One woman. $129 million kingdom turned over to Falwell. Have fun, folks. Go ahead. You're so smart. You got all the answers, kids and all. Can't tell him anything these days. Go ahead. I'm the guy who's got anything in ball or not. That's between him and his wife. The way she looked on television, I wouldn't think that she had much of this message. Folly being manifested, isn't it? Right across the board. Yeah, if you could only pull the covers back and see the rest of it. Not that we're such wonderful, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying, these guys shot their mouths off. There's a lady, she doesn't have much use. She claims she likes me, but she said, you know, he's off the word and this proves his stuff. So she wrote a little, put her voice, I got her voice taped, want to hear it? I got her voice right in the tape, and she's saying to this brother over there in Sweden, she said, now look, brother, she said, you don't want to believe what Bale believes, he's off. Now she said, you know, I've had an experience in Branham's Tabernacle. And she talks of praying, talking to some woman. And the woman got healed, so that vindicates you now. And then she said, you know, she said, my son left the TV in our place. And she said, so we could see this guy down in Baton Rouge, Jimmy Swaggart. And she said, he's the closest to Brother Branham. You should listen to him. And her message, tacked on to run me down, was on the end of the Anointed Ones of the End Times. I don't do any miracles and talk about Trinity. I wonder what the ones of God. I know one thing I can understand now. When Meadie told us that every time Brother Branham saw her coming, he ran for cover because she said that's one woman he could never stand. I told her one day myself, I said, sister, the trouble with you is you've got a fat mouth and thin ears. You ought to reverse it and get a fat ear and a thin mouth. And I wasn't being nasty. He says, God, I'm my judge. I told her the truth, not tell her the truth again. It was worth talking to, but it's not worth telling him. Now, you see, those are people that just listen to tapes and think they got answers. Her answer was, Jimmy Swaggart is the closest to Brother Branham. I would suggest she tune her TV in on a few others. Because my pick would be W.V. Grant Jr. And I think I saw him once. And I don't want to see him again. Brother, sister. You see why I say I wonder who. Brother Branham said they'd never take this message word by word. They can't take it even doctrine by doctrine. Now look, we're in danger here because I am taking it word by word. And if I'm wrong, I'm leading you people wrong. If you think I'm wrong, you've got every right to come and tell me and say, Brother Vail, I think maybe you're a bit off there or something. Let's take a look at it. Not reprobates in living. They're fine cultured men. And have you ever cultured mushrooms? Okay. Now notice when Moses went down to Egypt with the message of thus saith the Lord, he was vindicated. He called on Israel. Now watch, here's some good stuff here. He called on Israel, which was a people, not a church. Now watch this. This is good, because this is today. Remember, same thing. Israel was a people. They never were a church, because the word church means called out ones. And they were the people of God. Then, when they became anointed under the word and were called out, they became the church of God. And what happened? Then they backslid, because they believed not the word of God, but listened to a false prophet. Now, listen, this is rough. And I'm not going to say that I've got the meaning on this, because I'm not going to say Brother Branham really meant this. But is he saying here that we're like in Moses' day, the people of God, and there's the people in Egypt, in Babylon, and they're all being called out? Remember, Exodus started back when, in about 47 or later, and a lot of people came out. There was the Catholic Church was disrupted. All the churches were disrupted. There was a real move of disruption amongst the churches. Is that what he's talking about? That they never were a church until they came out. Then those that came out fell and backslid by listening to false prophets. I don't know. So I can't carry that all the way through as I'm telling the truth. It could be we just leave it as they're all churches, organizations. See, it could be they're all churches out there, which we see by Scripture, all Babylon, and they come out. And a lot of them came out. Now watch, he said. I hope that sinks in. Now watch. Israel, being a people of God, came out under the hand of God, anointed with the word, with the power of God. Hey, that's Hebrew 6, you know, isn't it? Seeing signs and wonders of God. Then when God was moving on them, a false prophet came in, anointed, and taught something contrary to the original word of God that they heard, and every one of them perished in the wilderness except three people. Now that sounds like we're hitting it right in the head, but I still don't know. So the charitable thing is to just leave it. And realize this, that it is true that many people who came out never followed the prophet. Never did. And many people who said they believed him, perhaps believed him in error. We'll let it ride at that, because I don't want, when I can't really get something clear in my mind, I will not try to tell you as though it were. Now, we who came out perhaps were not recognized as church until we did come out. But then it is important to notice a mixed multitude came out, even with Brother Branham, as came with Moses. And it is in the time of the coming out that we get a description of the men that rise up to bring the people captive into the world system. which evidently all the others already are in, or completely waving gone. Now, it also, this paragraph indicates to me that those who come out can be fooled except the very elected. And notice Brother Branham says at the time of Moses, there were only three that weren't fooled of that generation. Moses, Caleb, and Joshua. Right? Now, paragraph, well, let me see here. Before we go on, let's just take a look at Hebrews 3. I'll take a little time with this, and then I'm gonna quit here this morning, because it won't take you too long. We take a long time. Time I talk a little bit, your little pastoral idea, which I hope helped you. We have to wait and see these things. It's Hebrews 3, 1 to 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more honor or glory than Moses, insomuch as he who builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every man is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now he's talking, of course, to a church group, not to an individual. He's talking to the church retaining their status there. Okay. And remember, he says, Christ as son over his own house. And that's what we're looking at in this hour, because it's speaking of Moses, and it said Moses was a faithful servant. But remember, the pillar of fire was there. It never left them by day or by night. So the head of Israel was God. But he used a prophet. So you got the same thing today. The head of the church is Christ. Lord Jesus Christ in the form of a Holy Ghost and a pillar of fire, and he has his prophet. and when that Holy Ghost fire went into the prophet, he had every single thing that Jesus had when he was here in the flesh, except that one doesn't have the flesh of Jesus. It's William Branham's flesh. Okay. Now, let's go to Hebrews 3, 1-6. Of course, here, and we're talking of headship, is over here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 7, and we don't want to read all this, we should be so familiar, it'd be pitiful. But unto every one of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Then he said he gave apostles, so on. Now verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried by the human doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftsmen, whereby the nine ways deceive, but holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase, of the body in edifying itself in love. So, the body has come to headship in the spirit. In the air, it comes to physical. So, therefore, we have the spiritual headship here. And Christ is now the head of the church. Okay. Now, at that particular time we're speaking of here, let's go back to Hebrews, the third chapter now, and read on where we left off at. Beginning verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, time like Moses, pillar of fire, and the prophet. And remember, the one building the house, the builder, the owner, is Christ himself. But he's using instruments to his glory, which are people, starting with the prophet. Okay, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said to David, hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test, and they proved me, and they saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in the heart, they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Now it says you're going to leave the living God. In other words, the living God is right there, the prophet is there, and you can leave God. Right. Leave him flat. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What was the sin? The false prophets. And the wrong teaching. For we are made companions of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. In other words, the original message of Paul, grace, must stand. When? At this time. In the Exodus. The day of visitation. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Now, in Paul's day, they were hearing his voice. Let me prove you. Keep your finger there. Go back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And it says, oh, I can't find that in a second, can I? Fourth chapter. Okay, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be you have heard him, and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a message, but it's not said to be the very voice of the one that descends. So, all right, you get the picture we're talking about here. Harden not your heart when you hear him. Such is the day of provocation. When was the day of provocation? In the Exodus, having come out, they wouldn't go in. Have you ever tried a stubborn calf or a stubborn pig? When you get them out of a pen and try to get them into a barn? Sheep don't do that. Just follow right along. Pigs and cows are stubborn. Oh, the poor farmer, he gets so provoked he could kill it. God doesn't get provoked to kill us, but a lot of people are going to die. Okay, now, for some, when they'd heard, did provoke. How did they provoke? They wouldn't take God's own sign verbatim as it came, as vindicated. They wanted their own. Right. Now this morning I want to ask you a question. And I want to ask me a question. How do we fit in this one this morning? Are we still looking for something other than what God gave us? I've got to shake myself many times, brother, sister. Say, what's going on with your fat head anyway? You got no way to get vindicated, I say to myself. That's why I like coming to church a lot. If I could stand it, and you could stand it, we've got 5 nights a week here. Just for the sake of making sure we are, you know, not sitting steady and letting thoughts come into our minds which are polluted and putrid. Now, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in earth? What was the sin? They listened to the false prophet. Now, look, brother, sister, that little thing I said a while ago about this woman. There are a lot of women and men in the same boat. Oh, yeah. Well, my son, you see, he's a Pentecostal preacher. Well, then you lean toward Pentecost. Well, no, really, but. Oh, you lean, forget it. If I talked to you about the present, you'd climb up a tree or something. You'd never get. You stand there looking at me blank. You say, Brother Vail, hold it. I am talking about an experience, my brother and my sister. Lee Vail is talking about an experience. I'm not making up something this morning into the pulpit here to just make it sound good. I'm telling you the truth. I have had the experience of talking to a man whose son is literally a Pentecostal preacher in my book, says he believes the message. But he puts everything in the peripheral, in the center. I'm not interested in the peripheral to the center, brother, sister. Tell you, when you put a thing in a centrifuge, what happens? You get rid of what you don't want. Look up for the peripheral. Brother Branham, in even using Mark 16, had to be referring at times to prophets. Brother Branham also said, everybody does not pray for the sick, so how can Mark 16 be across the board for everyone who's sitting here and every place else? That's beside the point. Let's keep reading. And he swear to them that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now this rest that Paul is speaking of in 2 Thessalonians, at the time the judge comes down, you cannot enter into any rest unless you believe what the prophet says. And that's up to you. You don't say, Mother dear, can I believe? Father dear, can I believe? Children, is all okay with you if I believe? My wife had a lovely father. And he held the kids pretty strict. And he didn't backslide until one day all the kids were out there in the world and he backslid with them. Not bad, but just enough to lose his faith in what he had. Well, you know something? What about you this morning? Where do you stand in relationship to husband, wife, and all these things? Now listen, your job is to apply the token and to claim for your house. Stand there and be counted, not giving in. This is no time to fool around, brothers. This is life and death. Now, because somebody wants to mess up, you don't need to mess up. If the preacher messes up, get yourself a new preacher. If you're messing up, confess your sin and get right with God. The big thing is unbelief. Unbelief where? There and there. Now, wouldn't it be nice if the Roman Catholic Church believed this? But they love crossing themselves in these signs. I say, hey, now they're getting somewhere. I don't think they're getting very far. But at least that's real. That is a picture of the pillar of fire in which Elohim resides. You say, well, brother, there, that's too small. Oh, for God's sake. You could turn a chunk of uranium loose on the right condition to explode the whole world with a chain reaction. What is big anyway? Jesus said, faith of a grain of mustard seed moves mountain. Paul says, all faith moves mountain. Therefore, faith is faith. Big, little, small, faith, faith. And anyway, let's be honest. That's a reflection. The Shekinah glory is that glory and light attendant upon the presence. You can't see spirit, but an emanation there proves there's a life. Sure. Turn it down, see. Can't believe it. If you believe that, and say, I've been vindicated through this message. I don't maybe understand everything, but I'm standing for that. You're on your road. But until you do, you're not on your road. I can prove that. The mixed multitude under Moses, they died. Because they weren't convinced. If they were convinced, it would have been a different story. They weren't convinced. People, they aren't convinced about Brother Branham. We aren't convinced to the best we can. My Lord, we're not superhuman. I can't be convinced like Brother Branham was convinced. I'm just looking at that and say, hey, that's right, that's great. That's fine. I wasn't there. He didn't talk to me. I didn't feel it. I sat right in the room when he saw it. But I said, that's okay, I see the one that does see it. It was good enough for me. And I just... You know, maybe that's my way of getting out of it. I wasn't about to ask to see it. You know all I want? All I want is the assurance, brother, sister, this brings. I don't care to see anymore. I don't want to see anymore. I'm 72. I've seen enough now. You can have it all. All I want is that rest. And we're getting it more and more. And the more we get, the more the devil's going to fight. The more we're going to be hated. We'll come to a place where I show you where you're going to be even hated because you believe like somebody else believes. And you believe this thing? It's gone around there. You believe what Baal believes? See, Baal doesn't believe the prophet. I don't. Well, that's strange. Very strange. Put this all together. This is Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, you read. Then Hebrews 4 and 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entering his rest, he hath also ceased from his works as God did from his. In other words, at this time, brother, sister, God has gone to work again. Do you hear what I said? God has gone to work again, putting all things under the feet of Jesus. That's 1 Corinthians 15. That's the shout. Church order. Well, if God's gone to work, and he's working for me, hallelujah. I'll just let him work. And that's the thing people don't want to let him do. They don't want to let him work. Why, they got bigger ideas and better ideas. A big missionary program. Going to run here. Going to do this. Going to do that. Which I'm not against those things, brother, sister. I'm not against anything that comes out of this message that aligns with the Word. Please understand me. I'm for all the fruits and all the character, all the gifts, everything that's in this Word here. But I am first of all for the major premise of headship. People can't reckon it. People say, well, I believe it. Ha! One man, he said, listen, he said, I want to tell you. He said, I'll Brother Vail, I believe in presence. Yes, sir, I'm preaching. And he phoned a friend of mine. He said, Lee Vail's a dangerous man. We've got to stop him. Well, why doesn't he stop me? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. One word of truth can stop all the lies in hell. Now, if I'm carrying the lies in hell, I'd like that man to come with one word of truth. He just put me right out. I'd like to anybody to show me that they believe the prophet and deny that the Lord Jesus Christ came down in a pillar of fire. And the next thing I want them to tell me is this. Show me where the prophet said when he left the scene that God would leave the scene. He said, when I decrease, he will increase. I want to know. I'll tell you something. This is where you get your rest, brother, sister. This is where you fold your tent. This is where you sit down. This is where you stop your striving. But you do engage in a mighty good fight. And it's called the fight of faith. All right. Paragraph 133. As it was in the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls were saved by water, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. All right, shall he find faith? As it was in the days of Lot, when 3 came out of Sodom, so shall it be when the time when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Apocalypse. Shall he find faith? I'm quoting Holy Scripture, and I'm interjecting, shall he find faith? Because that's what this is all about. Shall it be at this time that Malachi 4 will take place? Yes! You know why? Because at this time, if I don't send Elijah, everybody gets food. Everybody dies. Is that the word of God? Come on. Is that the word of God? I'll read it for you. Come on. I got no trouble. Maybe you got trouble. I don't got trouble. I've only got trouble with the Bible trying to find the place. Okay. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all the wicked, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, leaving neither root nor branch. Now that's in our hour, and the next sentence, it shall leave neither root nor branch, is the white throne. See, how do you know? Because, brother, sister, we are roots and branches, and we stay. We're out of here. Those that make this are secure. Then the white throne comes, and you've got to take your chance. Let's read the last verse. No, 4, 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The curse at that time absolutely is what? There won't be one person left. So there you are. Now, shall the faith be restored in such an hour as this? It had better be. It's God's promise to be. I will restore every single thing taken away, and I will come and do it myself. Now, notice. As it was in the days of Noah, 8 people were saved. Sodom, 3 people were saved. Moses' day, 3 people were saved. A very small number. But notice, especially in the days of Noah, what was it that saved the people in the days of Noah? A blood relationship. One man genetically perfect. Noah, the only true living human being on earth. It's all. The only true living human being. And it was his bloodlines that brought the other in. Brother Brown has said, through the years, we have only had the chemistry. Today we have the blood. And never before, the blood atones for every single one of us. Brother Branham quoted us from Matthew 5:48, be perfect, even your Father in heaven is perfect. He said, who is perfect but God? And he said, how can God demand a thing except he make a way for it? He said, how can you make a man a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin till there be no evidence of it? You say, Brother Vail, I've got an evidence of sin in my body. You see, I'm sinning. That's true. And you will die unless God makes you immortal and it pays for it. But there is no evidence of any record of your sin. You and I can forgive. We can't forget. That's one thing that maybe we feel we're just not that close together as we should be. And maybe we just got to start forgetting a whole lot more, like God tells us to. But notice the blood is in effect today as it never was before. Now, in these two paragraphs, which we read here, it indicates that those who come out can be fooled if they are not elect. And in paragraph 132 and 3, we see a people called out who believe. Some have to believe, or there is no witness. How would Malachi ever be proven to God if somebody didn't believe? The effect of the whole thing is bound up in belief. So we're looking at these false anointed ones. I'm going to close now. I haven't got any time for any more. We have a dedicated little baby, and then we have to go because it's just about time anyway. Always take more time than they intend to. But anyway, here it is. It'll be a minority. There'll be a few people, but by the grace of God, we will be in that number. Brother Branham said, there's two people in that. One person in that town going to make it. You believe you're in that one. Well, I believe there's going to be a whole bunch out of this area make it. We don't exclude anybody. By the grace of God, we include everybody. Believe for you, believe for me, I believe for you, believe for our children. Now, we can't pander to anybody. Can't do that. We can't believe God. Let's rise at this time. Out of the same time, which as soon as we pray, we'll have the little baby brought forward. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time to give you thanksgiving and great praise. Even as Paul said, we ought to give great praise because we have been made the elect, and we know that we have made our calling and election sure by the fact that we do believe, and we do believe, Lord, to this end. Now, Father, we just pray that as we have already talked about these things, and Father, I don't believe I've taught the people wrong to say we're working from the vertical to the horizontal. And if we come around this word as our tie post here, then if we really love this word, and we really have the right understanding from the Word and the things that are in the Word, then we'd have this for each other because we're all part of that Word. And Lord, I know that. I believe that to be the truth, Lord. Maybe I'm quoting wrong to you from the prophet and from your Word. I don't know, Lord. I don't believe I'm quoting wrong. I believe I'm saying right, Lord. And John told us that if we if our petition is in the Word, it's according to the Word, then we know that you hear us because you do hear our voices through the blood and you hear the Word. And you told us that if we turn from your word, our prayers would be an abomination. But, Lord, if we don't turn from the word, then our prayers are not an abomination. They're received. And John told us that if you heard, then we knew we had the petition. And, Lord, so we're praying according to petition. And that is that what hinders us, Lord, from this depth of love and grace and glory that we know it should be a part of us by now and coming forth. And we're not satisfied yet with it. Lord, we're praying that you will open our eyes to what's really doing it by looking in our hearts and helping us to let that light shine in there to just get rid of that mildew and that darkness in there until the light of your life, it comes through these vessels and we're all here as the happy household of God. Lord, I pray that because I don't believe that I'm out of place to pray it, Lord. I know the prophet did say that congregation, every church made up of three kind of believers, but this morning, Lord, I don't know that there's any such thing that we can't believe for a complete unity and a complete household of faith. Maybe, Lord, just before the last day, and this is the last day, Lord, this brightness will come. So we're praying, Lord, for that end, that each one of us will shine toward you, Lord, and reflect you toward each other until there is such a beauty in our midst, O God, that we will enjoy each other and have this love as never before. That's what we want, Father. So not that the world will wonder, trying to be something great before the people. That's not it, Father. I believe you in our hearts. But for the sake of ourselves, O God, in relationship to you, this holy calling, hear our prayer and let it be so. Father, as you dedicate the little baby, we know that we turn her over into good hands, knowing that now your hand and their hands together guarantee that which is so desirable for the little child. So, Father, we just commend the rest of this service to you in your name, and we shall give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Shall we?